In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are told by Jesus, the Christ, and we're reminded also by St. Paul, that everything boils down to loving others. Even, Jesus says, loving our enemies. And this love of others, it may begin when we're more distant from God as something that we accept that is placed upon us, that we don't understand. And I don't mean understand with our thinking. I mean we don't understand in terms of it's not resonating or echoing in ourselves as something that, yes, this is the source of life in me. But it is the source of life in us. And that source of life is the life of God Himself. It's not so much a commandment that stands on its own, simply to be obeyed. It's not so much a duty that we place on ourselves, although in our early steps toward God, it may be that, as we're being trained up. What it is really is a revelation of how to live as God created us to be. It's a revelation to each of us that this is how we can be who God created us to be. It's the essential revelation about being who we are, at one with God and at one with others. Not simply something that we impose upon ourselves. And we think at first that this is something distant and difficult to understand when we hear St. Paul, we, he says, including Christ. He includes himself along with Christ and his companions. We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain, but to live according to the grace of God. And this means living in the way that we were created to live. Living from God's own life, from his own power, from his own strength, from the source of life that is himself, from God's love. And we said God is love. But it's something that we have to experience in order to understand. In the passages we've heard from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians this morning, St. Paul recounts all of the difficult things, or at least some of them. It would take quite a long time to mention all of the difficulties that he went through, because he went through so many. Struggling with the difficult sources of opposition within difficult communities that he had begun, drawing pagan lovers of God into a community that needed then to be formed by the love of God and the love of one another and the life that comes from God the Father through Christ himself, so that they can live a community life in the Holy Spirit. It was a taxing life for him, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And he mentions some of those things that he's gone through, and he's trying to spark a realization on the part of the people that their difficulties, like his, are the times and places of a transformation of their lives so that they can receive the strength of God's love itself. St. John Chrysostom points out that the difficulties that St. Paul undergoes as an apostle, difficulties that would destroy or bear down any other person, are for St. Paul his source of strength. The tougher things get, the more difficult those things are, whether it's physical persecution, or difficulties that he has to deal with in his life as a missionary. Instead of making him weaker and drawing out his strength, each one of them is a source of greater strength, greater spiritual growth for him. And again, this may seem distant from the way we actually experience our lives. But if we think of those that we love, our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends, and marriage, after all, is more than anything else, a special kind of friendship, a special kind of loving and valuing another person for themselves. That's the key. Those we don't love, we can't even see. They're invisible to us. We only see those that we love. And by the love and care that we give to our children, we are making a showing forth, a demonstration of the love that is already there. It's the same with a friendship. If we don't do that with our friends, then we really have no friendships. We can make a friend of anyone that we love and begin to see for the person that they are themselves. And again, that's the key. To love the other one for themselves. This is how we love God. We love God not because we're commanded to love God, but we love God because of who He is, the divine person that He is. Not something that we need to understand. When we begin to love, we receive a strength from God, because that is how God has created the world. The love of others, the love of God. As soon as we begin to do this, and our concern for ourselves fades into the background, with attention to and affection for the others, the other person, and God Himself, we are tapping into the fundamental reality of the world the way God created it, and our special place in the world as human beings, those who are able to love God and others and raise up the world around us in thanksgiving. If we think of those who are in the medical profession, a Christian who does that work, those that have to deal with difficult cases, burn cases, people in great suffering, we wonder, how can they not grow weaker and weaker and more strength being drawn out of them each day? How can they go on? It is because what they are doing, the acts of compassion, the acts of love, that can't be accomplished unless you forget your self-concern and do the thing for the other one that needs to be done at that time. It can't be done as it ought to be done, really, at all. And by the doing of that, you are sharing in Christ's work. A Christian who does that work receives the same kind of strength from God without thinking about it, without knowing about it, without understanding it in the mind, but perhaps understanding it in the heart, receives the same kind of strength that St. Paul receives from God. Through Christ, St. Paul, in his ministry, with all his difficulties and all of his challenges. That simply is how God created us. It's not a commandment, love others, although it may turn us around and set us in the right direction. Once we begin to try to follow that commandment and realize, of course, first of all, that we're not being commanded to feel a certain way toward others. The feelings that go on inside of ourselves are so secondary, whether they're positive or whether they're negative. The reality is what we do toward others. Love is something that we do. We speak of acts of friendship, acts of love. And when we begin to act in friendship, in love toward others, and forget about the feelings ourselves first, then we are sharing the work of Christ, his suffering. Now, we could misunderstand this teaching. We can misunderstand it by putting this kind of burden on ourselves. He sacrificed for me, therefore I should sacrifice for him. He suffered for me, therefore I should suffer for him. And we can impose it on ourselves as a kind of duty, as a kind of rule. And again, that's maybe a place to start. But it's only when we actually begin to do that, not in a selfish way, somehow saying, well, this, what I'm doing, whatever it is, I'm kind of dedicating it, you know, to Christ. And still, we ourselves are the actor, the one who is doing it, the one who is tempted to be prideful even, in that we are doing something that we would not otherwise do, but we say to ourselves, I am doing this for Christ. There's a difference between that and actually loving another. Giving alms for the love of another. Not because we're complying in a dutiful kind of way with what we have taken upon ourselves to do. And then we can even be prideful about it. But doing it as an act of love for another. Whenever we do that, we're tapping into the reality of the way God created the world, the way God created us, and what Christ did when he suffered and died on the cross and destroyed the power of death over us and made sharing in his suffering and his death a path toward oneness with God. If we actually do what it means to be a human being by loving others in the name of Christ, and by in the name of Christ, again, we don't just mean we're saying that it's in the name of Christ. But as Christians, we are doing it in the same way that he did what he did on the cross. If we leave ourselves behind and actually go out from ourselves and at one with Christ, share in his concern for the other, compassion for others, then what we are doing becomes far more than just following a special Christian commandment. This is how we go about living from God's life. When someone says, we live from God's holiness, we live from God's goodness, we live from God's perfection, how do we go about doing that? That's what we're describing right here. That's what St. John Chrysostom means when he tells us that St. Paul gained strength from his adversity. In all of the adversity, in all of the difficult things that he went through, it was, as he says, not he who lived, but Christ who lived in him. And there is no difficulty that we can go through that God is not equal to in his strength, in his power, and in the reality of what is the divine love, the ultimate and highest and deepest reality in all of the universe, to the point that he created a world that only works by human beings tapping into that source of life and power. When we turn away from it, it's disorientation. It's missing the mark. It's amartia, what we call sin. And when we repent and return to it, we are returning to the source of power in the universe, the way the universe is created to be, with human beings being the active ones, the ones who can love God and love others, and who we are, what we are, begins to fall into place. At any moment, this path toward oneness with God is open to us. All that the saints have to tell us about being the presence of Christ It's not something that's imposed on us as a kind of program. Do this. Follow this program. We are able to be the presence of Christ because we are human beings, and we are created to be the ones in the world who are created who love one another and who love God. That's how we are the presence of Christ in the world. And so when we think of this Christian new commandment, it's sometimes called, love one another, this is the kind of thing that we should remember. What it is to love another person. That's the thing that can transform us. We can't do it without repentance. It is impossible to love another person without repentance from focus on ourselves and what we accomplish and all of the rest of the confusion that goes along with that. And yet it is a commandment. And the commandment is to be as God created us to be. That's what it means to be a Christian. And that's why St. Paul pleads with the people of Corinth. Do not receive the grace of God in vain, to no avail, to no consequence. Along with Christ and all who love God, who love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemies. Because the fact that someone may or may not be, according to the details of the secondary issues of the world, an enemy, the most significant thing about that person is that he or she is another created in the image and likeness of God. In all our close relationships, we have times when we offend one another, where we irritate one another. But those things are low-level sources of irritation for someone who actually loves another person. The love is more real. And as to our enemies, they are created in the image and likeness of God. If we can begin to see who they are, who God created them to be, then the fact that they are at a worldly level, a competitor, an enemy, even someone who at this moment may wish us ill, can be dealt with at the level of the world, at the level of practicality. But we don't need to hate them. We can love them as the person created in the image and likeness of God that every human being is. Living like this is the Christian life. And it will transform us. It's not, it can transform us, it will transform us. It's not simply a promise that we need to have confidence in and then maybe we'll get results. It is the way God created the world. It is the way God created us. And Christ's words to us that we should love one another are not simply a commandment, simply a duty. They are a revelation of our oneness with God as we are meant to be and our oneness with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.